Art with us this morning. You all know Art Cron. I don't think I need to do a lot of introduction, but I consider him a friend.
Well, glad to be able to be here with you and share some today. This past Wednesday evening, as I was driving home, I hit on the radio, and as I was listening, I noted, oh, it's Unshackled that's come on. And I thought, boy, it's been a while since I've got to hear that. I'm glad to hear one of those again. And so I put it on, and I listened, oh, it's a person from Minnesota. I thought, that's interesting that there's somebody from, you know, not too many from there on there. And in about 5 minutes, the program was wrapping up, and he was giving the invitation and said, heard in the true life story of Nellie Seeley. What? I thought, I know that lady. I thought, she set it up for me to share the gospel with some other people. I thought, I met her right here in this church some years back. I thought, that is really neat. And I thought, and then there was going to be the next part, and I didn't get to hear the next part. The little part that I heard when I thought about it, I thought, you know what? I knew she had a pretty miserable background. I knew she had came from some pretty ungodly things in the past. And I thought, that's interesting. I thought, it's neat that there's stories on there. And I don't know, did any of you get to hear that? Okay, some of you did get to hear it. Okay, well, that's neat. I would have liked to hear more of it, but I thought, I know that. And I found that rather interesting. In fact, some of what she set up still helps me get different ends worth sharing the gospel in places and different things. So I found that rather interesting, and I had good memories from meeting her here that lined me up to share elsewhere as well. In the Gospels, as it talks about different things and different events, often different ones share slightly different things, right? If you were to, so let's suppose you had a bunch of people go to a game, right? And after the first period, you said, okay, I'd like you to write up what you saw and what things stood out to you and give us a report of what you saw and write it down. Would all the reports be the same? They wouldn't. If you had 10 people writing it, you would have 10 slightly different stories. Now, there may be some highlights that were mentioned in each of them, and the information hopefully would all be very accurate and true, but there would be different points mentioned and some things that one person saw a little more, or saw a little different, or saw this, or some things that some people didn't put in. And of course, when God set up the Gospels and the four Gospel writers, they each wrote about this triumphal entry. All four of them wrote about it. But each one had some slightly different things that they saw or did. Have you ever stopped and thought when you read through the Gospels, right, how that the name, what was written above the cross on each one says something different? Can they all be true and all right? Well, actually, they can. Let me just point that out to you. With the sign that was above Jesus' head, right, in Matthew, it says, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews," is what was written. In Mark, reading about the same thing, it says, "The King of the Jews." In Luke, it says, "This is the King of the Jews." And in John, it says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." So what did it say? It said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Not all of them tell the whole sign, right? None of them tell the whole thing. But each one tells part, and it's perfectly accurate, and it's perfectly right, and what each one told was true. It's just, you can't tell every part about what Jesus did, right? There's limited space. God didn't intend everything to be written every time completely all out. When sometimes people tell share, one gospel writer might share more about feeding the 5,000. Another might share some more about the 4,000 and less about that. And each one is exactly accurate. God's word is always true and can always be trusted completely. We're going to pick up with some of Luke, with the triumphal entry as it's recorded there. And with Luke, he tells some of the things that were happening right before. And we're going to pick up with a little bit of what had happened right before. Now, the other gospel writers tell some of that too, but some of them tell more details and some list timing, and sometimes things are not listed with timing. But with Luke chapter 19 is where we'll be, and I'm going to read just a little bit of the parable that he tells right before he goes up to that, and then we'll pick up with a little of that in Luke 19 and verse 11. It says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds, and said, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us." And then we're going to pick up with the last of that down to verse 26. And he said unto every, verse 26, "For I say unto you that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." And then we go right in to the triumphal entry. Jesus had spoke that, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount which is called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village over against you, into which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him." And so Jesus had spoke this parable, and then he's coming up. He sends his disciples ahead, two of them, to go get it. You notice some things from that? First off, Jesus knew exactly what was going on and where things were. He knew that there was that donkey there with the colt tied up right inside. He knew what the response of the owners would be. He knew how they would respond. He knew what to tell them. Jesus knew exactly what was going on and what they would say and what would happen. And so they go ahead and do that. And of course, that's going to fulfill a prophecy. One thing I want that it's Luke mentions here, it mentions that no one had ever sat on that donkey before, right? And so Jesus, they go and get the donkey and bring him out to Jesus. And what do? They start putting their clothes in the way, and Jesus gets on it. And this is an unbroken donkey. And then they throw clothes in front of it, and they come waving palm branches and shouting, "Do you want to be on that donkey? I don't want to be on that donkey. That thing's never been broke. That thing is, nobody sat on it before. Do you know how donkeys act when clothes are in front of them? Strange things. Have you ever worked with horses or animals like that, donkeys, mules, that when there's something in the way, they say, whoa, they don't like that. And here people are throwing them all over in front. Do they like crowds? You ever have one get around a stranger that's unbroken? These things, the rider is going flying, the donkey is going flying. This is the way nature works, right? You've been around those things, you know animals. You have people running, waving branches at it. I don't want to be on that thing. I helped break some smaller horses like Welsh ones some time back in my late 30s for my kids. I'm done with all that. No more of that. I don't like that anymore. You don't want to go flying. But you know what? Jesus, who made that donkey and created everything, he could control it. It mentions that no one had sat on that before. And the first time an animal gets something on its back, normally it does not react very nice. This one behaved perfectly good in impossible conditions for it to walk over, basically, for training. It doesn't like that. With distractions of palm branches, with wild things of people making lots of noise, and it wasn't one person making noise, it was a crowd. And here it walks, calmly, perfectly up, because its maker can make it behave. You know, in the other one, some of the Gospels, if we read slightly before, what had Jesus just done before some of these happened? Well, let's see, he had just raised Lazarus from the dead a little bit before that, after he'd been in the tomb 4 days. He had just healed some blind people by speaking the word. He'd stopped at Zacchaeus' house just shortly before this. And Zacchaeus went from being a greedy little thief and deceiver to giving away. Jesus can control the donkey fine. He can make things happen with his power and his word. Of course, as he's doing this and riding up, and they're praising him and singing the praises, some from the Psalms, and he's fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, and he's coming before some of the Pharisees that are among the crowd. Not all the crowd was happy for him, right? There are some Pharisees and some unbelievers in them, and we don't know exactly who was in each crowd in Jerusalem, right? But certainly there was a big crowd that was honoring him, but within a few days there's going to be a big crowd shouting, "Crucify him." And there's probably a little bit of overlap in those crowds. I don't know how much, but there was crowds there, and some of the Pharisees came up to Jesus at tells us after they brought him, and he's walking up there, and they're putting the things before him. And in verse 39, he says, "Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto his master, 'Rebuke thy disciples.'" They're praising him and honoring him as God the King. They're worshiping him. They're saying who he is. And they, of course, the Pharisees are rejecting Jesus as God the Son and their king, and so they say, "Rebuke thy disciples." They were talking about the one coming in the name of the Lord, and that he was God the Son. And what does Jesus answer them? He says, and he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Said, they need to. Of course, that was really true. God was going to be honored at this time. Jesus was going to be praised at this time. And if those people had shut their mouths, the one who made the stones can make them cry out too. It may be an impossibility to us, but it would be impossible for you or I to get on that unridden colt and ride him up through the crowd too. It would be impossible for us to call somebody out from the grave. It would be impossible for us to say, "Receive your sight," to these blind guys. We can't do things like that, but God the Son can. Jesus, he had power to do that, and those things happened just like he said. They came, they were praising and honoring him, and he let it be known that this was the truth. Then what happens? As he comes along, he's coming, and the ride gets over. Do you know, it probably wasn't a very long ride. Maybe half mile up there, nice walk. People are praising and honoring him, and some of the people don't like it, but he's being honored for who he is. And then as soon as it's over, they come near. What does he do? In verse 41 it says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." He had sorrow and care for this city. Even those people that were, what were they going to do? And of course, he knows what's happening, right? He knows what's going to happen. They are going to whip him and mock him and shout, "Crucify him." They are going to be mean to him. And what does he do? He weeps over them. He cares for them, even as his enemies and those that are rejecting him. He cares for them. And it actually tells us why he weeps over them. And he says, "If thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now are they hid from their eyes. They didn't really understand. Many of those that would have been around that crowd really didn't understand what Jesus was doing, what he was coming to Jerusalem to do. He knew that he was going to die for their sins. He knew that he was going to have a horrendous time with the guilt of the world heaped upon him. And he knew that Jerusalem was going to be wiped flat, and they were going to be killed, and judgment was coming. He knew that. And thus he wept over them and cared for them and wanted the best for them, even though they were going to reject him. He cared about them anyway and wanted the best for them. As we're around people, a lot of people, they know about something about Easter. They know something that's about Jesus. Although there's younger folks and some that really don't know what it's about. Jesus cares for each one and would weep over those that know about him. You know, these crowds that were cheering him in Jerusalem, right? Did the people in Jerusalem know about Lazarus coming back to life? That went abroad pretty wide. People knew about that. If you had seen something like that, would you share it? People would share about that. They had the scoop. A lot of them were there. Bethany, and where Lazarus was raised from the dead, and Jerusalem were just across a little valley by the Mount of Olives. They were just right across from each other. They knew about it. The people in Jerusalem knew about the blind guys and people that Jesus had been healing. They knew he was powerful. They knew that what he was teaching, he shared it broadly. They knew it here, but a lot of them didn't know it here. They knew what had happened, but a lot of them didn't realize that Jesus was the Lamb of God, that was the only way to be saved, that they needed to put their faith in him. Some of them, they knew facts about him, but a lot of them did not connect it with what Jesus was saying in the parable. Right as he was coming, right, he gave the example. First off, he gave it, and it tells us that he gave it to show them that there was going to be a gap of time that he was not immediately going to set up his kingdom, right? He talked about going into a far country to receive a kingdom, that things weren't going to happen right away. He shared that with those people, that the end was not going to be right away. Then he, of course, taught in that same parable that you should use what talent God gives you to serve him. You should use what you're given, what you have. Here it was pounds. It was a financial thing they were given that they should use for the Lord to serve him and honor him. And those that did would be rewarded, and those that were slothful with it or wasteful, they were going to lose their reward. And he also taught that those that rejected him were going to be judged in that parable at the end, when he talks about those that said, "We won't have this man reign over us." Well, they were going to be slain, referring to what was going to happen with hell and the judgment to come. Jesus had just shared all these things. He did the triumphal entry where people honored and praised him. And then he kept teaching, and he went on and cleansed the temple and did some of those things as well. But what's this response? What does he want us to take home from that? We know the historical facts. The first natural question is, do you just know the facts about him, or have you taken it for yourself? I hope that you have, and if you haven't, make sure your trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Nothing else, no one else. Your faith needs to be in him. And if you have, make sure we're living for him and honoring him with what he's given us. Are you serving him with what he's given you? Do the people that you're around know that you know how that you're forgiven? Do they know how they can be forgiven? You know, this Easter season and this time that we're coming up on, it is a wonderful time to share the gospel, to share with people about the Lord. With what's happening would it be very hard to say, oh, what does Easter mean to you? If you're on the job with somebody or around something, you could ask them, you ever think much about what Easter's about? Guess what? You're on the topic of sharing the most important truth in the world with them. And you can use what God's given you, your knowledge, what you know about forgiveness of sin and trusting the Lord. And it's very unoffensive around this time of the year. Easter is coming, right? Everybody knows it. Everybody knows about Easter. Nobody thinks, let's see, is there a holiday? People know. They've got a calendar somewhere, right, that's going to tell them Easter is coming. And if they don't know what it means, you can share with them. You can help them. And you can ask, what does it mean to you? If you know you're forgiven, you can help others. You can do eternal work that Jesus is happy to reward and honor by you living for him and serving him and not being afraid to open your mouth for the Lord. Don't be afraid. You can do it. You can share the gospel with people. You can help others see their need of forgiveness. Share with them when you can, as we have opportunity that God gives us and puts us in different places. You can share the gospel with people that I can't. I don't know the gut people that you rub shoulders with, but you do. And you can make sure, and with your family, and make sure you pass it on. Here in this thing, and the entry shows God's power. It shows who Jesus is. It shows his power even over nature. This was no ordinary thing. This was God the Son coming into Jerusalem, coming, knowing he was going to die for our sins, loving us enough to do it, caring for you, caring for me, that we might be forgiven. And even weeping over those that rejected him. What an example for us to care for those that we know are headed to destruction. We're not blind. We know judgment is coming. Jesus knew that when he was talking about Jerusalem being destroyed, it was going to be less than 40 years later, and that would be wiped out. Not one stone left on another. It was getting wiped out. Their judgment was coming. We know that we're all going into eternity. The people we work with are going into eternity. Judgment is coming. It might be 40 years for some, but for most of us, it's probably going to be less than that. We're going to meet our Maker, and a lot of people around us are too. In fact, everybody is going to. Don't put it off till it's too late. Share when you can. Make sure you use the opportunities that God gives us, and that you know you're right with him. Make sure of that, and then share it with others. Why don't we just bow for a word of prayer? And right there in your heart, if you're not sure of where your faith is, make sure it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins and rose again. And if God has touched your heart with somebody you know you really should share with, or a thing you should do for him, decide right now to do it and share that with the Lord as well. We'll just have a minute of silence. Lord, I thank you for your word, and thank you for your power. Thank you for the how you demonstrate who you are. Help us to be faithful in using what you give to us to share with others. Help us to be faithful this Easter season to share the gospel with those around us, that they might come to know forgiveness in you and a life that's transformed and changed, that's really where they really are born again through trusting you. Help us to be faithful in sharing that, and help us as your children to love you and serve you and have just a desire to see others do the same as well. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Art. And you know, when you talk about the Gospels, I've been thinking the last week about, you know, the four Gospels are written by four different people at four different times, but yet they agree. And I'm sure that they weren't all sitting, well, I know they're not all sitting around the table saying, you write this, you write that. It didn't happen that way. And it gives us a, it should give us a confidence that they are accurate. Thank you. Now this morning, let's close with hymn number 96.